talking again
about body swapping.
Welcome to the Swapcast Podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Paul Mitzi, and with me we have
Lucy Thomas
and
Brendan Levi.
In today's episode, we will be breaking down the 2014 Australian comedy, The Heckler, starring Simon Mallory and Chris Fortuna, where a stand-up comedian's body is taken over by the soul of a heckler after he accidentally drowns in a toilet. But before we get into that, just a reminder that we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram. Send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review Face Off. So, on to The Heckler. This is the second Australian body swap film we have covered on the show after Dating the Enemy, which we did very early in our run. Is there a reason why Australia doesn't churn out more of these films? And is this an example of why they shouldn't?
Well, I think it's easily said that we all agree that no, this shouldn't be done ever again. Like, is that the case? Are we all unanimous in this?
I don't know if body swaps in general shouldn't be done by the Australian film industry. I think it's a very easy genre that they could be making a lot more cash out of because people seem to be wanting and, you know, demanding these films.
I think I meant more like Simon Mallory shouldn't be a lead in anything.
Yes, I think everything about this particular film is fucking awful.
Should we have more Australian swap films? Yes. Yes, let's have it.
Kangaroos. Should there be anything like this? No. Lucy, you're being very quiet. Are you going to like surprise us and tell us you like this?
I want to ask, like, how big was the budget on this? And like, I don't want to completely shit all over it without knowing, like, it's history. You know what I mean? Like, I want to say,
did the government pay for this? Is this a Screen Australia?
I think the idea of a comedian and a heckler swapping bodies is, that's a great premise. I will give them that. I think when I heard it was Australian, I was like, oh no. Like, I don't know.
If it's an Australian film, you're like, oh no. Is that what you're saying?
Just with this concept, I'm not shitting on Australian films, but I just think, you know,
Australian stand-up scene? Is that what we're saying?
Well, I have seen far too much of it and it does give me anxiety attacks. I liked that idea. Uh-huh. Maybe not executed super well and like was quite dark. And anyway, there's so much to unpack here, but I just wanted to go on record saying I liked the idea.
So to answer some of those questions about the budget, I've actually got a special guest here. So I'm just going to patch him in now. Simon Mallory. No, I'm only joking. Lucy,
hold me back.
No, Paul, I know no one would ever come on our podcast. some guests, but
we've had some great guests, but none to like record the review.
Lindsay Lohan will not write back.
Yeah, look, I don't think this is a great movie. this is a bad movie. I do like the fact that the concept, as you said, was solid, and you can tell they thought about themes in a way, like you could tell they thought about the script on some level. It wasn't like some of these where it's like Prelude to a Kiss where you're like, I don't get what they were trying to say with this movie. You can tell what they were trying to say, but they just failed on every storytelling level.
I felt like it was like, for a thing about a comedian and a heckler, it was much darker than it needed to be as well. Like that the guy died and it's like, why wasn't it just a straight body swap? Like that would have been funny.
I think they were going for a black comedy, I think. Like I see a lot of people refer to this as a black comedy.
Interesting.
I don't know. The tone was all over the place.
Yeah, it was. It was. The tone was very strange. We have to play a fun game at some stage. If you could remake this movie with like your dream cast – and it was, you know, a comedian and someone playing a heckler, like, who would it be? You don't have to answer right now. You can think about it if you want, but
I just wouldn't want to put anyone I like through that.
I just meant a body swap film where it was about a comedian and a heckler.
I've got the perfect answer. I've got the perfect answer. Okay. Pete Davidson. Pete Davidson is the comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And
I could see Pete Davidson. He's got
and
that.
And Kanye is the heckler.
No, I was going to say Kevin James is the heckler.
Why did you ruin it?
That's good.
Because the heckler character has to be awful. So you need to put someone awful in that role.
Oh, sure. But you want it to be someone awful who can also be funny, because by the end of the film, he's got to make you laugh when he talks about how his, like, dad beats him and stuff like that.
I thought, what about if it was, again, it doesn't have to be the same story. What about if it was Jerry Seinfeld was the comedian and Jack Black was the heckler?
I would watch that. That was
great. Right?
The fuck out of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, we have to look at this film as an Australian low-budget feature.
Are you sure you don't want to just talk about my dream movie for the next hour?
It's interesting, all of them involved American comedians. Is there no one on the comedic front of Australian?
Look, I'm not paying the price of admission to see Tommy Little or someone like front this movie. I'm sorry.
You won't make fun of, like, the awful, awful people in this film, but you'll make fun of Tommy Little for doing his stand-up. Interesting.
I mean, I will make fun of the people in this film. I don't know. I just saw Tommy Little at the Garden of Unearthly Delights, and everyone was like, it's like the king had entered, and he was like,
Tommy Little.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I have never felt so instantly like not being humble or something. It was disgusting. Yeah.
So watching this film, I was reminded of when we all watched
when I did my stand-up comedian.
Yeah. No, when we watched Virtual Sexuality, and you mentioned, Brendan, that the aesthetics of the film made you feel gross and sick. And that's how this film made me feel. It felt like the costuming, the production design was, if you got a whole bunch of straight 40-year-old men and told them to make design decisions, this is the film that comes out.
Oh, you don't want, like, bootleg jeans and those really wide-toed dress shoes and a suit jacket with a t-shirt? You don't think that was a good...
Everything about this film was fucking hideous and made me sick to the stomach. The way that the apartment was dressed, like the furniture, the clothes everyone was wearing, the dirty bathroom that guy, like, fucking dies in. Like, it was all gross.
Like, that was a real bathroom, right? Like, that was on set. They were doing that scene. I hope someone, like, was over every tile with, like, a wet wipe. Like,
yeah, because they were like, he was face down in the toilet, in the toilet, on the floor, and I was like, ugh, because you just know it was a low budget production. They just went into some fucking toilet and filmed
in a pub, yeah.
But yeah, it's just like the ugliest. I think out of all the films we've watched, this is the ugliest costuming I've ever seen. Like, out of any of the films we've done, I can't think of another film where the costumes are this ugly, and I just. It makes me ashamed to be Australian.
Whoa. There's so much going on in politics at the moment that you should say that about. No, but
nothing is worse than this. Nothing is worse than this. I'm putting it on record.
I just feel so
this
bad.
This is a crime. Because, this is a hate crime.
You know, like, people have to try, and Australia is a small pool, and then, you know, not everything can be like a slick production, but yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I just go back to, you know, when we reviewed Inside You and we spoke to Heather Fink about that film, and that was a low-budget film, probably a similar budgeted film to this. And they just made smart decisions about how they spent their money so that it didn't look like a pile of trash. No matter how low-budget you are, like, I've seen movies with, like, $3,000 budgets that look better than this.
I guess as well, another really good sort of, like, comparison is Life is Easy?
Life is Easy, the New Zealand show.
you know, yeah. That was like a local production. You know, they got funding through whatever, and mm-hmm. they did a great job.
And do you know the difference is?
New Zealand.
New Zealand, but also that crew was full of LGBTIQ plus representation and people of color. You get a whole bunch of straight white guys and tell them to do everything. This is the film you're going to get. No offense, Brendan.
Those are some big assumptions, guys. Let's have a look at the cast and crew, right? Eh?
I will be shocked if it's not that.
If anyone who works on this is...
Right. Okay, so we're going to do the 30-second plot. We're going to do the 30-second plot, and then we have to pick it apart.
Okay, before we do the plot, I just have to say that I watched this 5 days ago. So if I remember anything about this, I'll be shocked.
I have written down some stuff, but I'm going to have to ask you guys about this because I know at the time I was like, okay, this is riff on this, but now I don't know what it is.
Before we did this podcast, I had someone who like did a pop in, and yeah. I was like, sorry, I've got to do this podcast. And they're like, oh, what film are you doing? And I was like, it's called The Heckler. I was like, no idea what this is. Tell me, what is it about? And then for 5 minutes, I was lost. I was just like, oh, he helps him, but then he wants to kill his kid. I don't even fucking know. Like, get out of my house. I'm going to record.
I know, it's so dark. Why? Okay.
Anyway, good luck.
Oh, fuck. I'm not going to make this, guys, but we'll give it a go.
Do you want to just watch it on your computer and, like, drag it across and just do it?
Just
like
say what you see.
A 20-second
picture. Paint us a word picture.
Yeah, guy drowning in a toilet. Okay. Count me in.
3, 2, 1.
So there's a stand-up comedian and he's divorced his wife and he wants to be big. And then there's a guy that's heckling him at his show. And then the guy like hassles him after a show and then ends up drowning in a toilet. And then the guy does a meditation tape. And then because he's meditating, then the guy's ghost goes in his body. And then, oh, fuck, I don't know. I don't know. I give up.
You've still got 5 seconds. So what did happen? So the guy goes into his body, like hilarity in inverted commas ensues.
Yeah.
There's a montage. Yeah,
we have like the dirt, like plague of the earth, like. If this person and his people were like wiped from the like planet, no one would shed a tear.
Who, the heckler or the
heckler? I know you could be confused. I could have gone either way. They're not great.
Yeah, but this guy. What happens when a terrible person swaps into another terrible person
with an even worse person? Like, I want to be a comedian. Teach me how to be a comedian. You have like no connection to this person, and you're just like, I'm putting it on you that you have to teach me how to be funny. Comes along and gets irate at him for not teaching him. Fair enough. He's an awful teacher. But you've listened to his stand-up. You know he can't actually do comedy either. So that's your fault, isn't it? So then attacks him in the bathroom. I'm glad he died. That was the best part of this film. This guy was an awful human being.
Like, what a way to go. So he tries to climb over the toilet stall and he falls in the toilet and drowns. It's like he easily could have got
like, this
up.
Is Darwin at work, right? Like,
he easily could have got up. It's like, it was like a 7-second shot of him with his head in the toilet and his legs like flailing in the air. It's like, simply put your legs on the ground and stand
and pull
up.
Pull your head up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, he gets a second chance of life. I don't know what powers of Satan. I guess that's what therapy is in this film. But for some reason, he gets a second chance of life and he squanders it immediately. It's not like he's like, I'm going to turn things around. I'm going to make something of myself. He immediately is the fucking piece of shit that he was on Earth the time before, except worse.
Yeah.
Because he uses it to do the worst things, like kill kids. Like,
and also it's like, you know, you're supposed to learn lessons and like we've seen enough of these movies. That is the formula. It's like, why didn't you do the formula? Like, it's really laid out.
There's instructions for this film. Yeah.
There was no stakes. You didn't want him to succeed.
Yeah.
So then when there's like all the montages of him teaching him how to be a stand-up comedian, like,
yeah, I
he just didn't
a lot.
Give a fuck. Like, yeah. Like, and since when is like going on like fucking Rocky style runs like part of becoming a
well, how many hours do you have to spend on how to take a microphone out of a stand and talk into it?
I feel like that's probably like the least of your concerns, I think. Yeah.
Well, it was very telling because you got to see the act and you knew what the jokes were and you're like, yeah, I guess this is what your routine would turn out like if this was your like preparation.
Yeah, this is your montage. Yeah.
I'm assuming this film was written by stand-up comedians or people in the scene, which is shocking because all the jokes are dad jokes. There's no actual funny jokes. It's all like dad jokes. Like the one we hear over and over again is like a homeless man said he wanted some change, so I took him to a different corner.
Yeah,
horrible. It's like
you
terrible.
Pick on
terrible,
homeless
terrible,
people.
Terrible.
Yeah, you're terrible. Okay, guys. Though I wrote down twister joke. This is the best joke in the whole movie. What was the fucking twister joke?
I don't.
No, twister there was something joke. About like the movie Twister. I should have written it down. I can't believe I can't remember it. That's so depressing. Anyway, the best joke, and none of us can remember it.
I can't say that. I was going to say the one time I laughed in this film.
Paul, no.
I'm ashamed of myself.
What is it?
Was when the evil guy was doing his jokes and he did, why do women get their periods?
Because they deserve it.
Because they deserve it. And then everyone gets super angry at him. That was the only time I laughed.
I'm laughing at Lucy's reaction.
Well,
she's
just
like processing. Where do I hang out with Paul?
I can just so easily imagine like a comedian, like your Tommy Little or anyone, anyone saying that and everyone laughing.
Yeah. Just because of like the audacity of the joke more than the content of it. And because the rest of the film was so inert, like something attention grabbing, you know?
Yeah.
Because everything else is just so fucking bland.
Yeah.
About this film.
So you're saying that you think it's written by stand-ups, but they're all portrayed so badly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I know like the friends in the comedy club or whatever, they're all real comedians.
Yeah.
Like cameos from real comedians. But Tony Martin, he's a comedian, isn't he?
Today. Yeah. I appreciate Tony Martin and his contributions to the Australian television.
So do you respect him less now that you've seen him in this though?
Who's Tony Martin?
The guy that was like hosting the late night show.
Yeah, he looked familiar. Do you mean UFC? Yeah. Is this what you're referring to? Ultimate funniest comedian?
No.
The guy that, the Tonight
remember
Show.
Remember when he goes on TV? The TV appearance?
Not ringing a bell.
So he gets put on the TV show and then he sucks and like it destroys his career.
Yeah.
It's the turning point in the film.
If I could just take a tangent, he like gives his agent so much shit for being a terrible agent. He books him on a Tonight Show. Like, what is this guy doing wrong?
I know the guy you're talking about now. I'm with you. Glasses? I'm with you.
Yeah.
We're back, baby. Yeah.
Back to Tony.
Yeah, so the agent is fighting to get this slot and keep going.
Well, I was just saying, he got you a slot on a prime late television show. Yeah. Like, what are you whinging about?
Yeah.
You're not very good. That's the problem.
Mm.
And that's what I was hoping, like, at the end, it'd be like, oh, actually, I'm no better at comedy than this guy. Maybe I should just focus on my life because right now it's full of women who hate me and a kid that's disappointed.
Can I just say as well, perfect segue, how dare they have that storyline with the kid in this movie and like have the audacity to call it a comedy? Nothing upset me more than like loser dad. Like, and you know when the kid's like old enough to know, and it was just like it was horrifying.
Like that he got into a fight defending his dad for being shit on the Tonight Show.
Yeah, and then just like the dad like trying to like palm the kid off on his girlfriend and wouldn't take it, and then just like took the kid backstage with him and like presumably left him there for 5 hours or whatever. Like it just, I was just like, this is a nightmare. And also the mum being like, I don't know, ask your girlfriend to do it. Work something out. It's like, that's your kid too. Like, I appreciate you have a shitty husband, but like, don't leave this scenario being like, work it out.
It was a brave choice of the filmmakers to make the main character a deadbeat dad who is a piece of shit.
And like, his redemption arc isn't even to fucking figure that out and to do better. Yeah, it's like, it's a fucking footnote.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not like we end with him realizing that and doing something about it. It's just like, oh, this guy's about to kill my son. I better stop that. And then...
How's he wants to kill the kid so he can take the wife on a holiday? That is... I just don't know what to say.
It's an insane plan. Like, the heckler, though, like... He's not just evil. He's obviously mentally ill.
Yeah,
like,
to believe in
terms of his psychotic person.
Yeah, to believe that you could take your wife's and your son out on a boat trip and not return with them, and she would be like, "Oh shit! All right, let's go on that holiday." Like she'd be like, "You let my son drown. Like, how could I ever have a relationship with you?"
Yeah.
Well, it's the same guy that you know. Dies and then his soul enters a new body, and the first thing he does is go, okay, I'm in this new body, I'm going to blow all his money, I'm going to buy a Ferrari, crash it instantly, take out a whole bunch of loans I can't afford. You're in that body, you have to deal with the consequences, you fucking idiot.
Yeah,
the thing that was most objectionable about this entire film though is that both of these guys were about to go to heaven.
Yes.
What is this universe?
The two main problems I had with that scene. One, that the suggestion that they both were going to get into heaven. Two, the fact that heaven is the Australian Logie Awards.
I feel like that was like whatever's calling to them to bring them towards the light
but
was
do
what
Australians,
they wanted.
Do Australian people do, even care that much about the Logie Awards?
Can I just tell you, sometimes Adrian and I will be like flicking on TV and it's like when you're trying to just get to the channel to get you to Netflix, you know, something will come on and Adrian and I will say, this is well Logie's, like,
pejorative.
As, like, the barometer of bad
so
Australian.
So for our international listeners, the Logie Awards is a award ceremony for Australian television that is awarded out by a, like, a trashy magazine called TV Week, where half the awards are awarded by a committee and half are by the Australian public of like 60-year-olds that read the magazine, and it's awful. Yeah,
it's exactly the way it sounds.
And this is like, nobody would think that's heaven. I don't care if you're in the Australian film industry, that is not no one's idea of heaven.
But like, can I just say, like, when we're talking about Australians and comedy, can we just like give a round of applause? We don't have to give a round of applause, but Tom Gleason and his speech on the Logies was like,
the greatest speech and the most honest
thing ever said on Australian television.
So kind of like what Ricky Gervais did with the Golden Globes, where he came out and pretty much just laid it all out on the table at how bullshit everything was.
But Tom Gleason did the same thing
for the Logies, and pretty much, but he did it in his acceptance speech.
I'm having a panic attack.
You don't watch each other's shit. Like, you know, when we meet up, we talk about Chernobyl. Like, we don't care.
We
like,
watch whatever was on Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was just so honest. It was so good.
Oh my God.
You gotta watch it, Lucy.
Yeah.
So this film definitely continues the tradition of presenting women as evil shrews in a big way. So he has this...
You can either be the shrew or you can be like the doormat mum who that's like a nag, which I guess that's also like a shrew of sorts because she's
you can
like,
be
hey,
a justified shrew or a
it's really offensive.
Yeah.
Shrew.
So yeah, this woman, he's divorced, he's separated from his wife, and now he's living with this new girl, and she is just the absolute worst, because you know that by her establishing shot is her taking a whole bunch of selfies. And then she says in an argument with him, you know, I could date any comedian I want. Like, that's a badge of fucking honor.
Like, yeah, low bar. Like,
So I have had some friends who gave stand-up a go for a while, and they actually both were really good, and I wish they kept going. But all I can remember is, yeah, just that once there was this guy who he had, like, moved to LA and, like, actually written jokes for Leno and shit, and then he came home and was doing some shows, and he would have been, like, he came up to my shoulder and look. Short guys are out there, but the bravado on this fucking guy, he couldn't stop, like, name dropping that he wrote jokes for this and he did this and that, and just, like, could not believe impressed. That I wasn't, like, pulling my pants down, like, I hate you. Leave me alone. Did I say that? No. But just, it's very bad.
What are we calling it when there's the little tick or the little inside joke that only everyone who we need a term for?
We should
for
coin
it.
A term for that. It's like the thing that you so you know
the prestige,
that it's this person.
The identifier,
the identifier. Yeah. So then the identifier for the people at home was that the whole family has this joke
family saying. I guess.
Which is all about teaching, like, their son not to actually address his feelings, but passive-aggressively tell a joke instead. So when you ask your son, how are you feeling, you don't want him to respond with, like, how he's feeling. How do you feel?
How do you feel?
With my hands. I'm dead on the inside.
God, I'm dying.
So this will be meaningless to our international listeners, but did you guys appreciate the round the twist?
Ready? Everyone say it on the same time.
The round the twist. But we got a gritty reboot of it. Did we enjoy that?
Yeah, was that like someone's like a version or something?
Because it sounds like they hired a band to do all the songs for the movie, and they were like, can you please do a remix of The Round the Twist, which was an Australian 90s TV show that I'm pretty sure is streaming on Netflix worldwide if you want to see what we can output. Did you guys appreciate that?
I've heard better. I've actually heard it like a number of like remixes of the Round the Twist theme song, but
that's all
this
you
is
listen
okay.
to exclusively.
That's my genre. I liked it though. I'll always be into that.
It's just a good song. Like I don't know if I've said this on this podcast, but Miraculous Mel Ops. Things are changing around here. Is like the best Australian theme song to a kid's show ever. Like, ever. Like, I would put it on. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you made us listen to it. So, the other day, my kid, we were watching ABC Kids, the new school Fireman Sam came on, and Adrian was like, oh, no, this is terrible. Like, we got to show you the original one. And he put on OG Fireman Sam. The theme song to that slaps. What British, like, I don't even know what genre I want to say, band wrote and recorded that song? It was amazing. We're all listening to it after the show, and it was so good.
Noted.
Okay.
We're all going to just listen to kids. We'll make a playlist for the fans of all our favorite theme songs to kids' TV
that's
shows.
That's so related to this movie.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hold up.
All right. So you've heard of what we thought of the movie, but how attractive did we find the cast? Now it's time for Hot or Not. Take it away, me. Are they a Tudor or a boot? Are they a... Why are you hiding your face?
Do it with an Australian accent.
Everything we do is an Australian accent.
No, we're in
Are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they are or not, mate. Everyone's a stunner in their own way. Crikey.
I feel like that was interchangeable with like a kid from Oliver. Like you just had to say Governor on the end of that.
Hey, sir, can I have some
shine your shoes,
more?
Governor? Yeah, I was hiding inside my shirt. Just knowing what we have to do now, I just don't want to do it.
No, let's shit all over these people. Let's shit them and tell them how ugly they are. All right,
I just can't handle like the bootcut jeans and the suit jacket and the t-shirt and the wide toe shoe. I just can't.
My problem was their faces.
All right, so firstly, Simon Mallory as Steve, the $6 million man. What did we think, Lucy?
Look, his character was trash. He was shit dad, which automatically makes you very, very ugly. I can recognize that out and about, this guy's probably got it going on, but shitty character, horrible person, is getting a nod from me.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a nod as well. His fashion was fucking horrendous.
Well, he was trapped in the same outfit.
Yeah. Barefoot as well. What a choice. He had to film this whole film.
Probably got
barefoot.
Some sort of fungus.
This film is a fungus. So ugly personality, horrible clothes. And yeah, I'm just giving him a nod. Brennan?
For all the reasons said before, I want to reiterate, he was in this film.
Yeah. <That's-> All right, so Emily Tahaney as Emma, his wife,
yep.
The mother of his son.
Yep. Love her. Like, she's been in a number of projects with Sean McAuliffe, and she's hilarious. And yes. Because of that, like, I feel like that context, like in this film, like, yeah, whatever, like you could have walked right past her. But because of everything else that has preceded this trash.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I just wanted to pull her out of the film.
Because like, we know. To, I know she's a talented
I know
person.
She's so exactly. funny. On the McAuliffe program, she is so funny. And is just like, I just wanted to rip her out of the screen. And
I'm like,
her.
You're better than this.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm gonna give her a hug.
Yeah.
Would this have been before, after, during? Like
during, I reckon. This is 2015 and that show's been going for a while, so.
And she was on like the McAuliffe program as well. Yeah. Mm. So
all right, so Kate Jenkinson as Bree.
Oh, Bree. Like the horrible person.
Awful, horrible girlfriend, yes.
She's like a standard attractive blonde Australian.
Completely. Like I said, you know that she probably is hot, albeit in the 2014s.
Yeah.
So like ill cut jeans and whatever. But my God, she was just a horrible person. Just horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and I guess she played it well because
she
I fucking
did
hated
it well.
Her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what, have we seen her in anything else?
Nothing that
I
can
feel like she
recall.
Looks familiar.
She's in Wentworth. I don't know if you watched that. And she was in that Rebel Wilson show, Super Fun Night. And she was also in Offspring.
Oh, no, I've never watched that.
Okay. So Dave Lawson.
Yo, though. Offspring is well Logies.
Yeah. It's actually won several Logies.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So Dave Lawson as Andy. So he's the other comedian that uses a puppet in his act.
I just wrote, he had a horrible rapey vibe. Mm-hmm.
Which was like, basically confirmed.
What was the bit? This is again, I watched this movie too long ago. Yeah. What was the bit? Did he, where the character changed or whatever and he was making out with the dude?
Yeah, like when she, he was saying no.
He was pretending just to motorboat. Well, he was motorboating her. But
yes, the yeah. motorboating. Yeah. Okay. I wrote down, this guy is like, I'm going to do the most outrageous thing in this film. I'm going to get the biggest laugh. Look at me go. And I was like, no, no. It's like terrible.
You had to hear first. Like, Lucy, not a fan of motorboating.
He was playing this thing for laughs and it was not funny. And also like, I'm not funny. So, you know, come at me. And just like he was playing this gross prop comic who was like, oh, just I don't know what it is about this genre of guy. I just he had tickets on himself and it was just like,
yeah,
no.
Did you used to date him? Like,
no, I've never dated a comedian or anyone that's done stand up. I was exclusively into rock guys.
I'm going to give him a nod, but I want to say that I am going to blow your mind in the tenuous recommendations in regards to him. There is something about him that will actually fucking blow your mind.
I thought he looked we'll a leave lot. Until then. I thought he looked a lot like the guy from the IT Crowd. He was in that show Dowd or whatever.
He was in that show Utopia. I don't know if you watched any of that.
Oh yeah.
Utopia. Oh yeah. Yeah.
The Australian show Utopia.
I reckon Tony Martin was involved with that.
Let's start the Let's finish off very strongly with Chris Fortuna as Mike the Heckler.
Oh, this feels mean, but I've been an asshole this entire thing. Piece of shit.
The disgusting. Character, just horrible.
There hasn't been many people in the movies that we watched that made me feel more ill, like just watching them. It's just like, I don't know, maybe this guy out of character is like, comes off completely different, but in this film, his presence made me sick to my stomach.
Like I enjoy a good Australian larrikin, but this guy was not it.
Like in my job, I deal with a lot of people like this person, and he did play it well. He played it well because I just felt attacked.
He had like PTSD. Like
yeah, PTSD. I did. Because he is like the kind of person that you just do not want to have in your life. He's just awful in every way.
And I don't know if anyone from overseas listens to this podcast or like even anyone at all that listens. Like,
well, if they fucking reviewed us, we'd know. But anyway, yeah.
But the accent in this was so just jarring and like, you know, when you just hear that really harsh, broad Australian accent, it's like, do people from overseas that listen to the podcast, is that what they think of us? Like, is that what our accents sound like to everyone?
When I go overseas, people always think I'm...
You're from England?
From England.
Yeah, same.
That's the... Yeah. Adelaide and places and like Queensland.
I feel like that
like,
guy was like, well, Queensland.
They got the twang.
Now it's time for Opinion Swap, where we find some entertaining reviews of the Heckler from across the interwebs. So, on Letterboxd, there was 2 reviews. And on IMDb, there was 3 reviews. So, on the internet, there's 5 reviews of this movie.
You have names. I want to see if they're the cast.
The literal fear, it's too close. They're going to hear it.
Oh, it's 100% true. They've got a little notification on their Google.
Look, Simon Mallory or what's the director's name? Plaza. If you listen to this and you want to defend your movie, reach out to me. I will interview you. I will interview you on the show.
You have to do it by yourself or not participating.
Brandon, you'll be involved with this, won't you?
I think this is almost 20 years ago. No, wait.
No, it was not.
Sorry, it felt like it's over 20 years. Like, they should know what they did. I'd totally talk to them. Like, what are they going to... what are they going to say? Like, oh,
remember
actually, this was a
Mel
masterpiece.
Remember Mel Brooks' son having a premiere for that fucking movie? Like,
person that said they were at the premiere and it got, like, giant applause and people were loving it. The fuck? Anyway, so this one's from James the Man on IMDb. He gave it
What a surprise, a man. Was he in his mid-40s?
He didn't give it a star rating, but the title is Good Stuff.
Couldn't figure it out.
He says, good acting and laughs, especially towards the end. I left pleased with a what just happened vibe. Homegrown films are disappointing 90% of the time, but this had me feeling patriotic. Made in Australia where I live. Low budget, which doesn't help, but character driven. It was lacking an artistic feel, much like what soap operas lack stylistically, but the situations in it were well thought out. Good pacing. The movie builds up into a nuts vibe, and the whole audience was setting us off. It was a premiere screening, I think, so there was a critical mass for this. Recommended if you like comedies.
Like, we watched the original Freaky Friday. That ends with water skis, like yes. pileups of like police cars. This yes. ends with a guy trying to drown a kid in a river. Like, I don't know if we'd say this went, you know,
and
nuts.
Then it truly ends on, how do you feel?
My hands.
With my hands. Like, that's, yeah.
Someone in my dad's body just tried to kill me.
All right. So this one might cause the end of Brendan's marriage because it's from Katrina on IMDb, who gave it 9 out of 10. The heckler comedy feature hits the spot. Oh, that, okay.
Anyway. Is that it?
That's just like a tagline for the movie.
All right. She says, Australian comedies don't always hit the spot, but it's hard not to laugh out loud watching The Heckler, about a comedian in the world of comedy, written by a comedian, starring comedians, set in a comedy club in a lead up to a comedy competition. Finally, a comedy about comedy.
We've been waiting.
It's a slow start.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah.
It's a slow start that builds a world that is real and unreal, credible and incredulous, and we go with it. We go with the heckler and the comedian for an entertaining ride in the world of stand-up comedy, which couldn't have been easy to achieve given stand-up comedy is about getting real and telling it how it is. And this film is a body swap film, which is anything but real, but they pull it off. A well-crafted blend of all that you want to see in a comedic film with the truth and the rawness of stand-up comedy at its core. The surprise is that it's also heartwarming and charming in a way that most comedies fail to
manage.
Yeah, that
bit where they try to murder the kids. So
is very well cast with comedians who are also actors and actors who have comedic timing, well-directed, well-written, and a film that comedians and audience alike will enjoy. It's an easy film to enjoy, good for date night, boys or girls night out, and families with teenagers, and great entertainment, pure entertainment. I hope to see this film continue.
Wait, did you have to get a second page?
I hope to see this film continue its sold out award-winning comedy festival run. Comedy was in all in capitals. Festival run and ends up on TV and in cinemas for more to enjoy.
I know you guys like are like, what the hell was that? But I've got a pretty like simple explanation for you. The co-producer's name is Katrina Fleming.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Busted.
I'll check with Katrina, but
that is amazing. She could have at least changed her name
like, to Karina.
That's the only thing that makes sense in this world. Like, how could it be anyone else? There can't be someone out there who thought that much and actually would put that much time into writing a review.
Oh,
that's all I'm saying.
My God. Well, at least we haven't like a window into the thought process behind the film. Like, if that's what they thought they were making.
Yeah, you know when you say that it's a comedy in all capital letters, you, like, are really sure about
just reminding everyone, just in case you didn't know if you were supposed to laugh.
If you watched the trailer, you didn't pick it up. This is a comedy.
let's get to a tenuous recommendations where we each recommend a piece of media that is linked to today's movie in some way. And a reminder, if you ever want to see the list of all the recommendations we have made on the show, head over to our Letterboxd page, which is also linked on our website. Now, my connection is Dave Lawson, who played Andy, the stand-up comedian with the puppet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who do you think Dave Lawson is?
Can we have a clue?
Dating in real life. She won a major award this year.
Did any Australian actresses win Academy Awards?
Academy Awards haven't happened this year. Yeah, this award ceremony happened this year. Yeah.
Did an Australian win Eurovision?
Eurovision wasn't this year yet.
It hasn't happened yet.
Gotcha. What's happened this year?
This year.
Grace
Golden
Tame?
Globes.
What? No.
Go.
What?
Who? So Nicole Kidman.
The star of...
That's the only Australian I know.
The star of a show that I know we all fucking love and an actress I know we all fucking
She's
love.
She's dating Shiv. He's dating Shiv?
He's dating Sarah Snook from Succession.
Yeah.
They have been dating for years.
Love it.
So Andy, the guy that played Andy in The Heckler, goes home to a home that has Golden Globes and Emmys on the shelf. He goes to major award ceremonies. He is invited to major Hollywood premieres. He's probably friends with all the other HBO stars.
I just find it really hard to separate that woman from Shiv.
Yeah.
And I just feel like she would berate him so much for being in this movie.
Like, that's how good she is. You're like, yeah. She's going to eat him alive.
Yeah, exactly.
He is like the Tom.
Absolutely.
So when is he going to majorly betray her?
Yeah, when he's making big moves in Hollywood with his puppet.
He's suddenly the co-lead. He takes the co-lead spot in the next Leonardo DiCaprio film from her.
Yeah.
Okay, so I am going to recommend one of her films. So a film that Sarah Snook starred in a year after The Heckler. So I feel like this is like where their lives diverged, maybe. though not true, because she was in Predestination before this film, which is another great movie. But in 2015... she was in the film Holding the Man. Have either of you guys seen Holding the Man?
It sounds familiar.
I don't know.
Yeah, so it's an Australian drama based on a book by Timothy Congreve, which is a very famous book in the gay community, especially detailing the author's relationship and then his long-term boyfriend contracting HIV and his slow descent. And it's a beautifully made Australian movie. And beautifully
acted.
See,
they do exist, yeah.
Yeah. Ryan Kaur and Craig Stott as the two leads are amazing. I was a mess when I watched this film. Like, if you watch this and you aren't crying the whole time, you have no soul. I wanted to choose this specifically because I wanted to choose an Australian film that's good to show that we can make them. So I believe this film internationally was picked up by Netflix, so you should be able to watch it on Netflix if you're in another country. In Australia, it's on Binge or Stan, I think. So it's available everywhere in the whole world to watch. Sarah Snook, one of her earlier roles, she plays the main character's sister. Holding the Man.
Can you tell me on the ugly cry meter, higher or lower than It's a Sin?
Lower than It's a Sin, but in the same vicinity.
Sure.
But I don't think I've ever cried in anything as much as I've cried in It's a Sin.
Oh, God, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Lucy, what's yours?
My tenuous, like, link is at, like, a film that centers around a stand-up comedian,
mm-hmm.
Except it's good. So I'm doing Obvious Child. Have you guys seen this?
I have.
Yes.
Jenny Slate.
Oh, damn.
That guy.
Yeah, the White Lotus guy. I wrote his name down.
Jake Lacy.
There you go. I mean, you guys.
Because he's sexy as fuck. So I know his name.
Especially in this. Like, yes. He's such a darling. So you guys have seen it, but, you know. So it centers around Jenny Slate's an amateur stand up. She's kind of a mess. And I don't want to give it all away, but, like, there's themes of unplanned pregnancies. And I think. You know, like, there's not often films made about that issue that have this tone. So I think it's like, I loved this movie and I love Jenny Slate.
Yeah, I back it up.
Yeah. Like, who else? Gabby Hoffman's in it. She's great too.
Trey Romano in it? Wait, no. Never mind.
That's the big sick.
No, he's been in other films.
Mentioning Gabby Hoffman, I am so pissed off that her Freaky Friday is not available easily. Like, I really want us to do that version of Freaky Friday.
I
know,
yeah, me too. I really
pisses me off.
So I just think it's a perfect film.
Yeah, I really had a great time with it as well.
I would back that one up as well.
Fully.
Yeah. Great.
Actually was so excited when I was like, yes. I can do this. This is a perfect tenuous link. And I thought maybe there was a chance that you guys hadn't seen it and I could be like sharing this wisdom with you. But never, you know, good try, Lucy. But maybe some people that listen to the podcast, again, does anyone? But maybe someone else will watch it. And even if just one more person's seen it in the world, then that's great.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, not that people haven't seen it, but if I can convince anyone else to watch it, yeah.
Well, if anyone out there listens to this and watches one of our recommendations and likes us, let us know. It makes us feel good.
Oh, it makes people feel really good if you review it.
Brendan, what's yours?
I'm also going the route of choosing a Australian film that's actually good. I know I've done a few Australian films, but yeah, like Paul was saying, I want to reiterate, like, we actually do make some really good stuff and
good low budget stuff as well.
Yeah, and like, we don't have the luxury of just having like millions of production houses churning out shit. Like, we can only make so many films here, and so that's why I'm being so harsh, is because I'm like, that was money wasted that could have gone to someone to make something actually good.
Yeah.
So my Australian film this time is a film called Rage in Placid Lake. I know Paul has seen it because we both got a
You've already regular recommended this film,
have
Brendan.
I?
Yeah.
Have
yes.
I? Oh.
Yes. It's one of the best ones you ever did.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's probably why I forgot. Wait, give me.
This all stays no cuts, baby.
Luckily, well, I'm doing the editing. Edit.
Brennan's doing that this week, so.
So because I've already done Rage in Placid Lake, I'm going to do The Loved Ones. Has anyone seen The Loved Ones?
No. Oh, is that the one about the prom date?
The prom date, yeah. Have you seen this,
Lucy? I've seen it.
I don't think so. Doesn't sound.
Are you into your, like, your saw horror sort of kind of thing with a little bit of weird, creepy
kind of, yeah.
So The Loved Ones, another low budget Australian film, born around that time of like Saw, and it's just this the story about this girl who she wants her prom date, and her father helps her get him by, you know, kidnapping him, and it goes from there. Horror comedy, balls to the wall craziness, and grabs your attention.
Cool.
And is like a great horror film. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would recommend it to anyone who likes that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a fun one. And I know you're a Twilight fan. The prom date is played by Xavier Samuel from Twilight.
Excuse me, what?
Weren't you telling me to watch Twilight the other day?
Yeah, because it's so horribly bad.
I've had multiple people in the last few weeks tell me I have to watch it. I think I feel it.
Yeah, because it's like you need to do that movie club on it. Like it, you can't believe it exists. I'm not saying it's good in any way, shape, or form.
You heard it here first. Lucy loves Twilight. If you head over to our website, you'll see that each of us has ranked every body swap film we've reviewed on the podcast. So my question is, where are we going to put The Heckler on our lists? All right, I'm going to put it quite low on my list, surprisingly.
Shock.
So it's going to be 8th from the bottom, which puts it in between The Change Up and You Thought Your Parents Were Weird. So like The Change Up probably has... I don't know. Which one's more offensive? I can't tell.
I guess if you're going by offense, maybe The Change Up a bit.
Yeah, but The Change Up is better made.
Yeah, at least film. On The Change Up, so you can just turn it's the below The Change Up. Look at Ryan Reynolds.
Olivia Wilde's. And, yeah.
Wait, what? You said a girl's name.
Because I love Olivia Wilde. She's so good.
I mean, so do I, but... Okay, guys, it's going in between Heaven Can Wait and Switched, which is like, I think, 8th from the bottom or something like that as well. So it's like very much low down there. But also, I couldn't even remember it's like the ones that sandwich it. So, you know, that tells you everything you need to know.
Lucy, can I convince you to make it lower?
Why? I'm saying it's better than Velocipasta, but worse than Pretty Cool.
Better than Velocipasta. That makes me so angry.
Wait, you're saying that, this film, The Heckler was better than Velocipasta? Oh,
but
wow.
I mean, it's not really. the list is what it is. It's not flexible.
You rated Velocipasta way too low.
I didn't like it. I was really mad at you guys for making me watch it.
It's 20 minutes.
Yeah, I think it's like a boy thing. I've had two different people message me being like, this movie's crazy, you guys have to do it. I'm like, number one, we've already done it, thanks for listening. And number two, I'm just like, it's just not for me. It's like some Monty Python shit. It's just like, you guys go and have a good time.
I gotta rewatch that. Brendan?
I'm putting it between Bad Johnson and Sam.
That kind of like group that you've got there, like Bad Johnson, Sam, this, The Sex Trip, they all have that same like icky vibe.
Yeah. Do they ever? I'm just like, I need a shower.
But then like it's very categorized, because under that is boring. Yeah. Starting with The Cobbler.
Look, you put Mama Boy bottom of your list. You could call it thing. It's about Mama Boy, but it's not boring. That was not a boring watch.
I must have been really annoyed.
Remember this though, in Mama Boy?
Like, pretty cool.
Pretty Cool is not boring. Mama Boy was not boring.
You should be happy. I said Pretty Cool was better than this movie. So,
next episode, we have another brand new body swap movie. So I'm trying to keep us, you know, relevant with the times. So this one actually comes out tomorrow. So we should be able to watch it in time. So it's a Thai language Netflix original called AI Love You.
Ah, everyone's watching that one. I've heard of that one.
Have you heard of this at all?
Nope.
No.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
So the plot sounds bonkers, and I watched the trailer, and it does sound like an interesting one. It actually sounds like something that Brendan would watch without the podcast. It's definitely in his wheelhouse.
Is this an insult? Tell me the plot.
So in AI Love You, it's set in a near future where an AI building is powered by human feelings. Due to a software glitch, it falls in love with a real girl, escapes the building into the body of a real man, and tries to win her affections.
I can't wait.
Soda Cat sounds cool. All right.
Yeah. You got me.
I'm in.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like, I don't think I've seen like a lot of action films come out of Thailand, but I've never seen like a seemingly big budget sci-fi movie with special effects and stuff out of Thailand. So I'm interested to see what they do with it. So
cool.
I'm recommending her.
Yeah. All right. So until then, don't be a piece of shit on the ground, DPW, and review us on iTunes or Spotify. And I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Lucy Thomas.
I was Brendan Levi.
All right, see you, bye.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.
The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Too Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Doodle 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 do. Edit this out. Oh, edit it now. Oh, yeah.